So we are not starting a new series this morning. This morning is just going to be our one-off message called Start Right, a Better Plan for a Better Year. Because I think one of the things that we can all agree on is we want 2021 to be better than 2020. Can we agree on that? And the reality is that we can say that kind of stuff, but we have a part to play. We can't just come in and be like, oh, I hope it's better, and do nothing to make sure that it is better. We can't just be bystander. We have to actually get in the game and do something about it if we want this year to be better. So with that being said, question number one this morning, what New Year's resolutions have you made this year? Everyone watching online, you can throw it in the comment section. I look forward to reading all of them later. This should be good. Everyone in house, everyone in Redverse, you can kind of lean over, talk to whoever you came with. If you came by yourself, yell at the other person who came by themselves, and you can share. And if anyone's really bold, let's hear it. Let's hear some New Year's resolutions. If you made a New Year's resolution this year, let's hear it. Anybody? I'm not supposed to yell. You got your mask on. It's fine. No? Nobody? Everyone's like, don't make eye contact. It's like school all over again. Don't look at the teacher. I'll call on you. I won't call on you this morning. This morning, actually, as part of the message, I'm going to be sharing with you my New Year's resolutions, kind of as an example, but kind of as a, hey, you guys, here's what I'm committing to. I am submitting myself to your accountability to check in. Hey, how's this doing? How's that doing? And so I'm not sharing because I'm scared. I'm just not sharing because you'll find out later. But as we come into a new year with new beginnings and all the potential that a new season comes with, I always come back to the Old Testament, the story of Israel, and I look at where are times where they were coming into a new season as a nation, or when was a time when there's a certain person coming to a new season, and how did they prepare themselves? How did they get ready? And this morning, I'm going to go to Joshua 24. And I'm going to lay some foundation, but if you guys want to turn there in your Bible, wherever you're looking at the scripture, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be up here. Don't worry about it. We also have a really great app that everybody should have at some point. But Joshua 24, just as kind of the background of this passage, Israel has been freed from Egypt. They've been wandering around the desert for 40 years. Moses has passed away. Joshua has taken the reins as the leader of Israel. They've come into this nation, this land that has been promised to them. And by the time Joshua 24 comes around, they have conquered it. They have gone through and they have conquered the city states and they have conquered kings and everyone who stood in their way, they've taken out. And now we're at this cusp. Joshua is advanced in years. He's getting ready to pass away. And he stands before the nation of Israel. And this is what he says. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your fathers, the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, that's right, we're good. Come back here, you. Joshua stands before the people of Israel and he says, listen, you know your history. Your forefather, Abraham, he came from a land that didn't serve me, didn't recognize me as God. He came from a land of idols, and I pulled him out so that he would be my chosen guy. He would be the one through whom my chosen people would come through. So I saved them away from those idols. And your fathers were in Egypt for, they figure, about 400 years, serving the people who serve false gods. Every day, these guys would walk by statues and temples and monuments to the hundreds of false gods the Egyptians worshipped. And so they would see these idols, And the land that they just took over was full of people who served gods that were not the one and only God. And so as they're conquering them, God said, take down their idols, tear down their Asherah poles, tear down their altars, tear down every remnant of what these people worship, because the way they worship and the gods they worship are detestable to the Lord God. And so all through, they would see these Asherah poles and they would see these altars, and every moment they got, they were to be tearing them down so that they could all be replaced by the worship of God Almighty. And as we come into this new year, and as we enter into the new opportunity, just as Joshua stands for his people, like, listen, you now get to settle in this land. You've done the hard work. You have fought off the people who were residing there. You fought off these people who needed to be kicked out. And now as you settle and you start to put down your roots, and as you start to write the next chapter in your life, he says, right now, before you get started, choose. Who are you going to serve? And Joshua says, as far as I'm concerned, me and my house. And when he says house, he's not just saying the family he had right at the moment. He's talking about his lineage. He's talking about the generations to come after. He says, my house, anyone associated with me, we are going to serve the Lord. And as we come into this new year, I think this is the most important spot to start. No matter what your resolutions are, no matter where you're coming from, this is the challenge that God stands before us as one church, and everyone who, if you're visiting or tuning in for the first time, God is standing before you and he's asking the same thing. You're on the cusp of a new chapter. You're on the cusp of a new adventure. Choose this day whom you will serve. Because last year and in the past of our lives, there have been gods that have come and gone. There have been gods that have tried to steal our attention, but they're not idols like the Israelites would have seen. We don't see statues of Ra running around, standing in place. If the statue's running, we're in trouble. Statues of Ra are erected, or we don't see the temples of Zeus, or we don't see these physical monuments. But a while back, I read a book by a man by the name of Kyle Eidelman. That's probably a name that may be familiar to some of us because we've used his stuff in the past. And he wrote a book a while ago called Gods at War. And he took the time and he said, you know what? The gods that we deal with, they don't come in statues, they don't come in physical forms, and we don't necessarily have temples erected in their name, but we still have these temples, we still have these temptations. And he listed off 9 things that either we are tempted with on a daily basis, we've been saved from the past, because these are people and things that we have worshipped in the past. But even as we get ready for this new chapter, these are temptations and things that are going to come and try to steal our attention from God. And that's what Kyle Edelman says is a god, an idol. Anything that tries to steal our attention, our time, whatever is meant to be given to God, anything that steals that away from God is an idol and needs to be dealt with. And Kyle Edelman says, he lists off 9, and these are what they are. He says, in the temple of pleasure, ooh, didn't hear that one before, we find the god of food, we find the god of entertainment, we find the god of sex. In the temple of power, we find success, we find money, and we find the god of achievement. In the temple of love, we find the god of romance, find the god of family, and we find the god of me. Not me, but like you. Like when you look, not the temple of the person you see in the mirror, okay? The temple of ourselves. Whether we want to admit it or not, at some point or another, we have placed one of these things above our worship of God. And if this is an idol that you're still currently dealing with and you're not sure about it, I guarantee you that me naming one of those things as an idol caused offense. If you're like, I don't think that's really an idol, but I really don't like the fact that you called it one, well, that's probably something that needs to be dealt with. Probably something that has established itself. You're giving way too much time towards, you're giving way too much of your resources toward. But these nine things, and I just summed it up as nine, there's probably way more. If you look back on your life, you look back on the challenges and the trials and the temptations that we have faced, there's probably a lot of things that have competed for our time and our energy. But whatever it was in the past, and whatever it is that's waiting for us in the future, today we're deciding, as for me and my house, we're not serving these other things. We're not serving these false gods. We're not serving these false idols. We are serving the Lord. Which brings me to my second question. Which of the nine gods, quote unquote, competes the most for your attention? Which of these nine things that I listed off, so achievement, success, money, family, entertainment, food, pleasure, which of these nine things compete the most for your attention? What are these nine things that are the most tempting to draw you back in and ultimately away from serving the Lord God? And maybe more importantly, what are the things that we can do to prevent us from falling into these traps? Because they're not like just standing out there obvious, like, oh, come to me. They're traps. They're sneaky. The devil doesn't work in ways that are obvious. He's deceptive. He's going to lay traps that we're not ready for. I had a pastor friend once told me that our greatest weakness is an unguarded strength. And if you don't know what an unguarded strength is, this is basically what it is. When we start saying, I will never fall to that, I will never sin in that way, I will never, whatever follows that is an unguarded strength. It means that I am so confident in that, I'm not even going to consider it. And 9 times out of 10, whatever your unguarded strength is the thing that gets you in the future. We have to be so protective, so guarded about every area of our life. So what is a game plan going into 2021 that is going to protect our lives, going to make sure that we are honoring God in everything? Because that's what it ultimately comes down to. It's not just having God in one little corner of our life saying, this is my God time. I show up at church, I tune into church, I read my Bible every once in a while, and that's my God time. And the rest of the time, I'm just going to do things my way. I'm just going to go however I want, do whatever I want, say whatever I want. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, where did all this temptation? Well, because a good game plan is one that'll make sure that we've got all the bases covered. We've got all the gates of our lives. They're guarded. They're ready. And so when we come back to this idea of New Year's resolutions, I know that there's a lot of people, a lot of life coaches and leaders have said, well, just pick one thing. Pick one simple, measurable thing that allows for you to, see some growth. But I've seen a lot of other guys say, actually, you need a plan that encompasses all of life, that encompasses all the major pillars. And it don't have to be big things in every one of them, but you just need something, some measurable way that says, I am either growing in this area, I'm maintaining this area. And it really comes down to 5 things. And the best analogy I have for our life is that we think of life as a wheel, a bike tire. I was going to bring my bike, then I didn't. A bike tire, and you think of, if the tire is life, then the spokes are the things that we need to maintain. Because if one of your spokes goes out on your bike tire, it makes riding your bike really uncomfortable, really not pleasant for you. And so this morning I have 5 spokes, 5 things that as you are, because we're still early enough in the new year that we can still course correct, we can still make a plan that can still, we've missed 2 days, but that's okay. We got to give ourselves a little bit of grace too, right? We expect God to give us grace. We need to show ourselves some grace. So what are the 5 things, and before I get into it, I have one more caution. If you are sitting here and you're like, oh, I never make New Year's resolutions, I'm going to use an old adage, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you don't have a goal for the year, if you don't have an idea of some achievement, something that you want to accomplish by the end of the year, you have no one to blame but yourself if nothing changes. If you don't plan to change something and nothing changes, mission accomplished. But that's not much fun when we get to the end of the year and we're like, darn, I could have done so much. I could have could have grown in so many different ways. And anyways, all that said, now I'm just rambling. Five spokes, five things that we need to focus on. The first one, please work, maybe, is obviously the big one, faith. And when I say faith, I mean your relationship with God. What are some things that you, what is something you can do this year that says when you get to the end of 2021 and you look back at where the year started and when you get to the year, how the year ended, what is something that you can say, I have grown in my relationship with God. I have taken the step to ensure that this spoke of my life, this pillar of my life, is maintained, healthy, strong, if anything, getting better. We are not having any clicker. Oop, back. Ah. Get out of here. Now you know what the second one is. Back to Joshua. Joshua says, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. So what is something that you can do to ensure that your relationship with God is central, foundational, getting stronger? Because just like any relationship, we can't just expect it to happen. We have to make an effort, right? Married people, you know this. You want your relationship to work, you got to work on it. You can't just sit back and hope that everything stays good and happy. You have to actually put in the time. So how are you going to put in the time to stay connected and close to our Heavenly Father? For me, what I'm going to do this year is I am committing to reading my Bible every day, which sounds like a weird one coming from your pastor, but hear me out. I don't have a problem reading my Bible every day because I have to look at it to get ready for my message, and I post the verse of the day every single day. But the trap that I fall into and the trap that many other pastors fall into is that this book simply becomes the textbook. It just becomes the manual, so make sure that my sermon sounds good. My sermon lines up with the Bible, so no one comes after me and like, yeah, what you said wasn't biblical. Well, okay. That's a trap. That's not good, because I can't stand up here and say that this book is life-changing, this book is everything you need for life, and then not read it in a way that changes my own life. And so this year, I'm committing to reading my Bible devotionally every single day. And that what that means for me is reading a passage of Scripture that I'm not preaching on. To read a portion of this story, to read a portion of this book that has nothing to do with what I'm working on, what I'm preaching, what I'm studying for church stuff, something completely unrelated, so that God's Word can do what I expect it to do in each and every one of you and transform my own heart, personally. That's my commitment. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe that sounds like a good one for you. That's a big one. I'm just going to warn you. And that takes a lot of grace, because every year I try it, and every year I get to May, and like, huh, I haven't read my Bible in a while. Oops. And maybe this year is the year that you just put that spoke in your tire for the first time ever. Maybe your relationship with God is non-existent. You've never made a relationship with God, or you had one and you've fallen away. But just like a tire, you can get through life without that spoke. You can get through life without a relationship with God. You can get through life without reading your Bible and doing all the things you need. You can. But life gets a lot bumpier. Life gets a lot harder without that spoke. Imagine taking the spoke right out of your tire and just trying to have a nice, pleasurable bike ride. It's not possible. Especially if your bike only has five spokes, you take one out. That's going to be a very unfortunate bike ride. And I say that not because I remember my life before Christ, and I know my life now, and I know that life still has bumps, and I know that life still is challenging and pushes me in uncomfortable ways, but I know that God's grace and love and strength minimize the bumps. They're not so bad, because I know that God is taking care of me. I know that God is going before me and making my path straight. You can do it, but I guarantee you that life gets a lot better if you've got God in the picture and God is central. He is worth the time. He is worth the effort. And in everything that you put towards your relationship with God, God gives back tenfold. I guarantee it. Because God loves to bless his people. God loves you more than words can express. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so this year, maybe this year to kick it all off, it's just like, you know what? I really need to get right with God. I need to let God's forgiveness and mercy just wash over me, and because I guarantee you it's worth it. What are you going to do to maintain the faith spoke of life? Number two, as you saw, because the clicker doesn't work, family. Joshua says, as for me and my house, as I said, that means my generations, the kids that are going to come after me. As for me and my line, we're going to serve the Lord. What are you going to do this year to foster healthy family relationship? And for some, that means the kids that you got at home. For some, that means the kids you've got living in other areas, or parents that live in other areas, whatever it is. What are you going to do to make sure that you take care of your family house? And more importantly, what are you going to do to make sure that your house and your kids and your family maintain a healthy and lasting relationship with the Lord Jesus? Again, Timothy says that nobody can serve, nobody can lead in the church. Paul says to Timothy that no one can lead and serve in the church if their house is a mess, if their kids are not child or not Christ followers or not loving of Jesus. If your kids are out of whack, then you need to get that right before you can. For me, this year, and this, I'm sure this will kind of ring, my commitment this year for my family is I'm putting my phone down at 5 o'clock every day, and I'm not looking at it for the rest of the day. If you call me, I'll answer. Don't worry. If you text me, I'll text you back. But I'm not spending, because how easy is it to just sit on the couch, pull out your phone, look at social media for like 10 minutes, and all of a sudden the kids are going to bed and you missed out on all that time. It's not just the kids, it's your spouse, it's your friendships. It's so easy to sit down, look at your phone for what is meant to be just a quick little glance, and all of a sudden you've lost hours of your life. And I am telling you this is personal experience, and I'm done with it. I'm done with losing time, because time is the one thing I'm not going to get back. And so if I want my kids to love Jesus, and I want my kids to love like me eventually, it's going to take time, it's going to take effort, and it's going to take putting down the device and giving them all the attention and love and everything that I need to give them to see them grow in the ways that God has called them to. So that's my commitment. I don't know what yours is, but I would encourage you to make a commitment in some way that helps your family grow. Maybe it's just relationally, maybe it just grows in the Lord, maybe whatever it is, find a way that this year is the year that your family stays more in tune with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, finances. We all like this one, but it's true. Romans says this, Romans 13, Paul tells us, owe no one anything. Oops. Owe no one anything. Have no outstanding debt except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. In other versions, it says, let no debt be outstanding except for the debt to love one another on a daily basis, because through love you have fulfilled the law. This is the only debt that we are to have as believers. Ah! And it's true. If you struggle with your finances or have struggled with your finances, you know how hard it is to be reading through Scripture, and God tells you to be generous, to have an open hand with those who are in need, to have an open hand towards when the church has needs or when a missionary has needs. It's hard to be giving when you don't have nothing to give. It is hard to bless others. And not only just that, it's hard to enjoy life when everything you do takes money and you're like, do I have enough money to pull that off? If I do this, who's not getting paid? If I do this, who's not getting... That is not a good spot to be. And so this year, as I was thinking and I was praying for the plan for 2021, I want to do a financial seminar for everyone, because if we as a church are going to equip people to live an effective and bold life for Jesus, then part of life is making sure we manage our money well. And so we're going to do some financial training at the church, and I'm going to be right there, front row center, because I'm no expert. I'm not teaching it, so just so you all know, because you don't want me teaching that one. But if we want to grow, if we want to, and it, because that temple of power, things like success and money and achievement, when things are tight, when we're having trouble making ends meet, that temple becomes really appealing, and we start putting time, we start putting effort in that temple, in the worship of those things, because if I have more success, maybe I'll have more money. And that's not always the case. Because more money you have, the more things you find to spend it on. The better option is to find, what is God's plan for your money? How does God intend for us to use the finances and the resources? Because when we live beyond our means, we're saying, God, you're not doing enough for me. When we are discontent, we're basically saying, God, if I was in charge, I could do a better job. And that's not a place that we want to be. We want to humble ourselves. We're like, hey, God, how can I use this to make sure that everyone is, I can still live the life you've called me to and not rack up the bread when it comes to my finances. And for I don't know what that means for you. Maybe it's just like, ooh, you just checked it off. I'm going to go with financial seminar. Perfect. That'd be awesome. But what are you going to do to make sure that you are healthy in the finances so that you can live the life that God has called you to? And this, oh, nope, I'm not saying that. Never mind. Spoke number four, fitness. Again, not a great advocate for this one. This has been a struggle for mine, okay? Every year, I'm going to lose some weight. And then I start off for the first, sometimes it's the first couple months, first couple weeks, first couple days, 2020, right? And I always end up moving in the wrong direction. And so this year, I am committing to doing better. We'll see how it goes. No, I'll do better this year. But it is a fact, a scientific fact, that if our bodies aren't healthy, it starts to affect the health of our mind. We don't think clearly. We don't concentrate well. And it does affect our spiritual life. When we are unhealthy physically, it affects our spiritual health, because we are three-part beings. We're body, soul, body, mind, and spirit, and they all feed off each other. So if one part's unhealthy, it starts to affect the other two parts. And so we gotta take care of ourselves spiritually, but we gotta take care of ourselves physically. And I might add on there, when it comes to health, I'd add on our mental health. And so, and Paul says this over and over again, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We take care of the physical church. Why wouldn't I take care of this church, this temple? When you put it that way, I got to take care of this. Because I want God to be honored with this temple. I want God to be, we need to set up, we have to have a game plan. How am I going to do better physically? And maybe you're good with where you're at physically, so maybe challenge yourself mentally. Challenge yourself to grow in your thoughts or in your, learn a new idea. Challenge yourself to make sure that your fitness, your whole person fitness, is always on the incline. You're always growing, you're always getting better. And the last one, and it's interesting, in all the books and everything that I read kind of leading up to this, these first four, everybody agrees with, across the board. Faith, family, finances, fitness, all start with F. It's awesome. Easy to remember. This fifth one, nobody agrees on. Some people say that the fifth spoke is work. That doesn't start with F. That doesn't work. Some people say that the fifth spoke is goals. That doesn't start with F. That doesn't work. It's kind of this vague, so I'm going to call it focus. What is something that you need to focus on this year? And maybe it is learning a new skill. Maybe it's learning a new skill so that you are a better employee at work. Or maybe it's learning a new skill so that you can serve better at church. Or maybe the thing you need to focus on is cleaning up the backyard. Pick me. Maybe the new skill you need to I don't know. I don't know what the thing is, what the goal is, but pick something that is completely unrelated to the other four, so that at the end of the year, you have this tangible thing that you have achieved, like, I got something done. I have accomplished something. And there's a big difference, because I said that achievement was in the temple of power. There's a difference between achievement and accomplishment. Accomplishment does not require recognition. It does not require the applause and the, hey, good job. It just means that you've accomplished something. Achievement usually comes with achievement awards, achievement recognition, achievement, hey, good job for you. A pat on the back, whatever it is. We're not talking about achievement. We're talking about accomplishment. What is something you can accomplish this year that is different, that is new, that is maybe lingering for way too long? What is going to be the thing that you focus on? And maybe it doesn't take you all year. Maybe it only takes you a couple months. Maybe it only takes you half a year. Maybe it just there's just one thing that you need to get done and you just need a day to get it done. Then get it done. What is something you just need to focus on this year that is going to set 2021 apart, not only from last year, because it's easy to beat last year, but every other year before it? Faith, family, finances, fitness, and focus. The total package game plan. If we are able to commit to accomplishing one thing in each of these areas, it is going to help us live a better, fuller, more total life. It's going to help us set up those safeguards so that these idols that so covertly sneak into our life don't have place, they don't have time, they don't have a foothold in our life. So this week, my challenge for you is, if you didn't write them all down, I'll put them up online somewhere. You'll have to find them. But take time this week to say, okay, how am I going to grow in these five areas? And I'm not saying just pick one. I mean pick all five. Because if we excel and grow and experience health in all five of these areas, our whole life is just going to be healthier, better. And here's a little plug for you. At some point in the next coming months, I talked about doing a seminar on discovering God's vision for your life. Well, these five spokes feed into discovering and maintaining God's vision for your life. It is going to be a part of our seminar. There's my little plug. So come, we're going to unpack them even more whenever that comes, and we're going to talk about some other things that's going to be exciting and fun and hopefully bring some clarity and some vision to your life. Question number three, what is the one big thing you're going to accomplish this year? What is that one thing you're going to focus on? Everyone, the superintendent in Alberta used to say this, you need to focus on your OBT, your one big thing. What is that one big thing this year that you're going to focus on? And not at the cost of the other ones, but right alongside with them. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know what mine is yet. Because I'm right there. I'm like, if I focus on these other four things, I'm not going to have time to do anything else. No, that's not true. I will. So I will let you know what my OBT is. You let me know what yours is. Everyone online, share it on the comment section. But what is your one big thing you're going to focus on this year, right alongside with growing your faith, growing your family, growing in your finances, and growing in your fitness? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you are a God that plans. I thank you that you are a God who, you already know how this whole thing plays out. You knew before the world began. And you have a plan, you have a purpose, you've planned out our life before we even lived one day. And so, God, we as individuals and we as a church want to walk in step with the plans that you have for us. And we want to be able to accomplish them with all the fervor and life and energy that you ask that it deserves. And so, God, show us how to grow in all of these areas. How can we grow in our relationship with you? How can we grow in the relationships of our family? And how can we draw our families closer to you? How can we grow in our finances so that we can give to the things that matter to your heart and matter to you above all else? How can we grow in our health? Is it physically? Is it mentally? What are some other areas of health that we can focus on so that we are in a better place to do the things that you have called us to? And above and right along with all of these, what is the one big thing you want us to focus on this year? This week, I pray, God, that you would speak to us, that our hearts would be sensitive, and that we will just go where you guide us and accomplish great things in your name. We love you. God, we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness that you pour out on us every day. We give you all our praise in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.